Where were the 13 places they had to bow down in the Beis HaMikdash? They were done opposite each entrance to the Azara. There were 4 in the north, 4 in the south, 3 in the east, and 2 in the west. On the south, beginning at the west and moving east, were the upper gate, the lighting gate, the Bechor gate, and the water gate, which was called the water gate because on Sukkot they would bring the water through this gate to be brought on the Mizbech. Rebbe Yaakov says it was called the water gate because when Mashiach comes, a stream of water will flow from the Kachi Kachim and will pass through this gate. On the north, beginning at the west, where the Yechonya gate, that's where Yechonya left the last time when he was going into Galus, the Carbon gate and the women's gate and the song gate. On the east were the Shar Nikner and the two small doorways that were next to it, one on the right, one on the left. On the west side there were two gates, but they didn't have any names. Zakht Gemara Mishnah follows the sheet of Abba Yosef and Yoichanan, who says the places to bow down were to 13 gates of the Azara. However, the Rabbanon say that there were only 7 gates to the Azara. According to them, the 13 places were opposite to 13 places where the Yevanim broke the gate that surrounded the Azara beyond the actual walls. Pasuk says, in the days of Mashiach, there will be a stream that will begin in the Kachi Kachim, will continue flowing and growing the further away it goes from the source. So Bryce says, that in the Kachi Kachim, the stream will be as wide as the antenna of a Silai and Kilai, tiny little creatures. From the Parechis until the Mizbech Shel Zov, it will be as wide as the antenna of a grasshopper. From the Mizbech until the Azara, it will be as wide as the Shesi thread. Through the Azara, it will be as wide as the Erev thread. From there, it will get wider to the size of the water being poured from a Bali. Chesel describes this stream he saw in a Nevuah. He saw the stream in the Nevuah. He says, at 1,000 amas from the source, the stream will be ankle high, ankle depth. At another 1,000 amas from the source, the stream will be knee high. At the next 1,000 amas from the source, the stream will be hip high. After that point, it will become a strong river that will not be able to be crossed even by large ships. The Pasuk said that the spring will be for the Beis David and the dwellers of Yerushalayim to use for the Parah Aduma, which needs spring water, and for Nidus to be used for Tefillah. The Shulah Nachman and Rabbi Yenison says, will only be valid for these uses in Yerushalayim, while it's still in Yerushalayim, meaning the river. However, once it leaves Yerushalayim, it will only be valid for Anita, because at that point it will be a mixture of spring water and rainwater. And Elazar says, after it leaves Yerushalayim, it will not be valid for either purpose of those anymore. Yecheskel continues. He says that in the Nevuah, he sees that the water of the spring goes into the Sea of Samchu, the Sea of Tveria, the Yam HaMelech, and the Mediterranean Sea. In fact, it makes sense they had to go into the Yam HaMelech and the Mediterranean to sweeten their waters, but the waters of Tveria and Samchu are already sweet, so why did these waters need to mix with them? Mara says it increased their fish variety and supply. In fact, one pasuk says it will sweeten all the waters. Another pasuk says, V'lo ye'rafu le'melech nitanu, meaning they will not be sweetened and will be left for salt. Mara says there was a place called lo ye'rafu whose waters were not sweetened so as to allow for salt production. The pasuk says that along its banks will grow all types of fruit trees and will yield fruit by its month. So Rabbi Yehuda says, in today's times, grain takes 6 months to grow and trees produce fruit only once a year. In the times of Mashiach, grain will grow every month and the fruit will grow every 2 months. Rabbi Yehuda says, grain will grow every 15 days and the fruit will grow every 30 days. Pasuk says, V'aleu trufa, its leaves will be for healing purposes. Rabbi Yehuda says, this means that the leaves will be edible as food. Rav and Shmuel argue, one says the leaves will have the power to open the upper mouth, and the other say will have the power to open the lower mouth. Rabbi Hanina and Rabbi Shimon Levi argue, one says that leaves will heal women who can't have children, which is really what we mean by the lower mouth, and the other say will heal people who are mute, which was what was meant by the upper mouth. The Mishnah said, Ulu Yimason, Bitsafen Vechulum. Zachtimar, when Nebuchadnezzar traveled here to Israel, he stopped at Antuchia. Sanhedrin went out to him and asked him if he plans on destroying the Beis HaMikdash. He told him, give me your king and I'll go. They told Yoachim that Nebuchadnezzar wants him. When he heard this, he took the keys to the Beis HaMikdash, went onto its roof, and said to Hashem, we're no longer worthy to have these keys. So he threw them up to heaven. Some say that they never came back down. Others say that the form of a hand came out of Shemayim and caught the keys. When the people of prominence saw that Shemayim, they agreed with what Yoachim said, that because of Shemayim they accepted the keys, they went up to their roofs and jumped off to their deaths. There were 13 shulchanos tables in the Mikdash. There were 8 tables made of marble in the butchering area, upon which the insides of the animals were washed. There were 2 tables on the west side of the Mizbeach's ramp, one of marble on which the pieces of the animals were placed when they were waiting to be brought up the ramp, and one of silver upon which the kalim to be used that day were placed. There were another 2 tables in the ulam, one of marble upon which the lechem aponim were placed on their way into the Beis HaMikdash, and the other was made of gold, which is upon which the lechem aponim was placed on their way out of the Beis HaMikdash. There was only Malam HaKadosh and Meridin. Finally, there was the golden shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash, upon which a lechem aponim remained all week. Zok the Gemara Brisa says that lechem aponim were placed on a silver table on the way into the Beis Hamikdash. Rabbi Yosi, in the name of Shmuel Bitzchak, said the Mishnah doesn't agree with that because silver gets very hot and would cause the lechem aponim to get moldy. In fact, Gemara Brisa says that there was a nace with the lechem aponim that it remained warm all week and it never spoiled. So why would we be concerned that it would spoil at this point when placed on the silver table? Rabbi Shmuel Levi says because ain't same chanel nace, and therefore you have to do what you have to do from our part to make sure it doesn't spoil. In fact, Gemara like this, they asked Rabbi Loi, if there was no, what happens if there's no new lechem aponim? Could the lechem aponim of the previous week be left on the shulchan for a second week? He answered, the pasuk says lechem aponai has to be lefonai tomid constantly. So we learn from there that it has to stay there, even though it's possible, even though it's the second week. The pasuk says that Shlomo made 10 shulchanis and put them in the Beis Hamikdash, 5 on the right and 5 on the left. Now it can't mean that he put 5 on the left of the entranceway, which would be on the south side of the Beis Hamikdash, because the shulchan has to be put in the north. Rather, it means he put 5 on the right side of Moshe's shulchan and 5 on the left side of Moshe's shulchan. Still, only Moshe's shulchan had the lechem aponim placed on it. Rabbi Yosi, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, says that Shlomo had lechem aponim put on every one of these shulchanos.